Today is the fourth and final week of our Christmas series titled Advent Conspiracy. Each of the last few weeks, I've shared with you the story of how this movement of Advent Conspiracy came about. It started 14 years ago when a group of pastors got together and they began talking about how they could do Christmas differently. Because they realized that Christmas had become something here for us in our world that I don't think it was ever intended to be. And so it was out of these conversations that they began to encourage their congregations to stop and ask the question, what is Christmas all about? Why do we celebrate Christmas? And in this series known as Advent Conspiracy, we're challenged to do four things this Christmas. Worship fully, spend less, give more, and love all. Now, we kicked things off 3 weeks ago by talking about that first idea, to worship fully. And I shared the reality that we won't be people who spend less, who give more and love all if we aren't learning to worship fully, because it starts with worship. But then 2 weeks ago, we talked about the second idea, spend less. And I shared how difficult this one has become because of the culture that we live in. It's an overindulging culture that often gets itself into debt during Christmas time. And so I challenge us to actually think about why and how we spend our money during the Christmas season. And that maybe we could actually rebel a little bit this year. Rebel against our culture and how we do Christmas. Where instead of just kind of throwing money at gifts, we would actually think about what we're giving and why we're giving it, which led us into last week's message where we talked about the third idea, to give more. And even though spend less and give more seem like an oxymoron, we talked about spending less on those meaningless gifts and giving more of ourselves this Christmas season. And so now this morning, we're going to wrap things up as we focus on our final point, love all. And I want to start by reading a story that is told by a missionary that went and served in Russia for a short period of time. This is what it says. It was nearing Christmas time for our orphans, and the first time that most of them would hear the true story of Christmas. We told them about Mary and Joseph arriving in Bethlehem. Finding no room in the inn, the couple went to a stable where the baby Jesus was born and placed in a manger. Throughout the story, the children and orphanage staff sat in amazement as they listened. Some sat on the edge of their seats, trying to grasp every word. Completing the story, we gave the children three small pieces of cardboard to make their own manger. Each child was then given a small paper square cut from a yellow napkin that I had brought with me since colored paper wasn't available in the city we were in. Following instructions, the children tore the paper and carefully laid the strips in the manger for straw. Small squares of flannel cut from a worn-out nightgown an American lady was throwing away as she left Russia was used for the baby's blanket. A doll-like baby was then cut from tan felt that we had brought from the United States. The orphans were busy assembling their manger as I walked among them to see if they needed any help. All went well until I got to one table where little Misha sat. He looked to be about 6 years old and had already finished his project. As I looked at the little boy's manger, I was startled to see not one, but two babies lying in the manger. Quickly, I called for the translator to ask the boy why there were two babies in this manger. Crossing his arms in front of him and looking at this completed manger scene, the child began to repeat the story very seriously. And for such a young boy who had only heard the Christmas story once, he related the happenings pretty accurately. That is, until he came to the part where Mary put baby Jesus in the manger. It was then that Misha started to ad lib a little. He made up his own ending to the story, as he said, "And when Mary laid the baby in the manger, Jesus looked at me and asked me if I had a place to stay. And I told him, I have no mama and I have no papa, so I don't have a place to stay. Then Jesus told me I could stay with him. But I told him, well, I couldn't because I didn't have a gift to give him like everybody else did. But I wanted to stay with Jesus so much, so I thought about what I had that maybe I could use for a gift. I thought maybe if I kept him warm, that would be a good gift. And so I asked Jesus, if I keep you warm, will that be a good enough gift? And Jesus told me, if you keep me warm, that will be the best gift anybody ever gave me. So I got into the manger, and then Jesus looked at me and he told me I could stay with him here forever." As little Misha finished his story, his eyes brimmed full of tears that splashed down his little cheeks. Putting his hands over his face, his head dropped to the table and his shoulders shook as he sobbed and sobbed. This little orphan had found someone who would never abandon or abuse him, someone who would stay with him and love him always. That this young orphan named Misha found the love of Jesus in the midst of the Christmas story. And that's because the Christmas story is all about love. It's about the love that Jesus has for all of us. And the fact that he desires that we would be people who do the same, that we would love all. And so I guess the question this morning to kind of kick things off is, what is love and what does it mean for us to love all? You know, love is one of those words that seems so complex. And yet it's so simple when we truly just break it down to what it is. Because in 1 John 4:8, it tells us the simple answer. God is love. God, He is love. And the truth is, the entire gospel is stated in that simple sentence. God is love, period. So to truly know love, we must know God. And so this morning, I want to take a look at this love that God is. And I believe that our greatest understanding of God is found in Jesus Himself. 1 John 14, Philip asked Jesus about God the Father, and Jesus replies in verse 9 saying, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Jesus is God. He's part of the Trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three in one. Three persons in one make up the God of the universe, the God who created all things. And it was Christmas that brought God the Son of the entire universe, right, to this world. And it's through Him that we see this beautiful picture of love for all. And so this morning, I want to look at Jesus. I want to look at really three aspects of love that I see and have seen from His life, and how from His example we can learn to be people who love all. Now, I know that there are way more than three aspects of the love of Jesus, but these are the three that God has put on my heart for this morning and for this morning's message. And so, number one, the first thing I want to share with you is this. Loving all means meeting people where they're at. Meeting people right where they're at. This is the core of the Christmas story. Jesus, he left the glories of heaven. He left this life that had no limitations, a life that had no pain or suffering. He left all of that to come into this world and to meet us right where we are at, in the midst of a dark and broken and fallen world. Philippians 2, 6 and 7 says it this way. We actually read this scripture last week. It says, "Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." It's crazy to think that even though he was God, he didn't come into this world as this great and mighty king, living in palaces with all the luxuries that royalty has. Instead, he came into this world born to a poor carpenter and a young woman who weren't even married yet, and ended up being born in a stable and laid to rest in a trough that animals ate out of. It's not at all what you would expect from the God of the universe, right? From the God who created all things. But this is the way that he chose to enter our world. And I think it's because he loved us and wanted to meet us in the midst of the mess. He wanted to meet us right where we were at. You see, love doesn't make others rise up to its level. Love shows grace and meets people where they're at. Loving all means meeting people in their space. All throughout the scriptures, we see Jesus showing love to people in this very way. Meeting them in the midst of their brokenness. Meeting them right where they were at. I want to share with you one of my favorite stories from Sunday school this morning that I think reveals this truth about Jesus. It's found in Luke chapter 19. Most of you are familiar with it. It's the story of a man named Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector, and if you aren't familiar with tax collectors back in these days, they were considered to be kind of the worst of the worst. You see, they worked for the Roman government and they collected taxes for the government. But the thing is they would collect even extra money above and beyond the Roman taxes so that they could keep it for themselves. And so they became very rich off people, and the people hated them because of it. But this man Zacchaeus, he had come and he wanted to see Jesus. And we're told that he was very short, that he couldn't see over the crowds that were there. And so he climbs this sycamore tree to try and see this man Jesus that everybody was talking about. And so this is where I want to pick up in the story this morning. It's Luke 19, and we're going to read verses 5 through 10. It says this: "When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today.' So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, 'He has gone to be with the guest of a sinner.' But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount.' Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost.' Now, Jesus knew of Zacchaeus' reputation, but he purposely chose to go to his house. It didn't bother Jesus that people were talking about him and asking questions and gossiping about him going to his house. No, Jesus, like he did time and time again, he went and he met Zacchaeus right where he was at. He demonstrated his love with action. He didn't just claim to love all people. He showed them that he loved all people by going to them and meeting them in the midst of their brokenness. And the fact is, Jesus, he does the same for all of us. He shows us love by meeting us in our brokenness, by coming to us and meeting us right where we're at in our lives. This is the kind of love that we see in the scriptures from Jesus. And this is the kind of love that Jesus desires all of us to learn. The kind of love that loves all, that loves everyone. And then the second aspect of loving all that we see through Jesus is this. Loving all means looking beyond the surface. Looking beyond what we see at the surface. One of the things I struggle with most when I think about Christmas and Jesus coming into this dark and broken world is, why? Why would he do it? Why would he want to save us? Why would God care about the people of this world, especially when you look at history, where his own people, the Israelites, failed him time and time again. And even though he would save them again and again, they would eventually forget about him and would turn their backs on him. And then in this time that Jesus entered the world some 2,000 years ago, the world was probably as messed up as it had ever been. So why would he give up what he had in heaven to come to this dark place full of sinners that continued to fail him again and again? Well, I believe it was because of his love for us. Because he looked beyond the surface. He didn't focus on what was or what other people saw, but instead he focused on what could be. You see, true love doesn't focus on the moment. True love sees the potential of what is to come. All throughout the Gospels, Jesus is questioned about the people that he hangs out with. The tax collectors, the sinners, the ones that are considered less than everyone else. Why did he hang out with these people? We know it wasn't because he lived the same kind of life, right? Jesus was perfect. He was sinless. So why would he hang out with sinners? Why would he hang out with these kind of people? And the simple answer is this. It's because he loved them, because he loved all people. And he knew that those titles that they had been given weren't who they really were. Yeah, they may have failed. They may have found themselves hanging with the wrong crowd. But he saw beyond the surface and saw the potential of what each of them could be. Our story about Zacchaeus, it's a great example. Everyone else saw him as this horrible, sinful tax collector. But Jesus saw beyond the surface. He saw the potential of a generous man who, after Jesus came in verse 8 to his house, said these words, "Here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus saw his potential. He knew that beyond the surface was a kind and generous man. Jesus demonstrated this kind of love towards people time and time again. I think one of the times that baffles me the most in the scriptures is found in Luke 23, verse 24. It's when Jesus is hanging on the cross. He's been beaten numerous times. He's had a crown of thorns put on his head. He's had nails put through his wrists and put through his feet. He's been mocked. He's been spit on. And after all of this, with everyone standing around, just watching, just waiting for him to die, he utters these words in Luke 23:34, when he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Even on the cross, in the midst of his pain and suffering, he was able to look beyond the surface and see that these were misguided people that he created and that he loved. If they only knew the truth, how different their lives could be. Jesus knew that. Today, I believe the Lord wants all of us to know the truth. To know that beyond the surface, beyond the titles that the world has given us or that the world has given to others, God sees beyond the surface. He sees the truth of who He's created us to be. And more importantly, who we can become in and through Him. It's why He loves us, and it's why He wants us to be people who love others, to be people who love all, regardless of what they might look like on the surface. Which brings me now to my final point this morning. The third aspect of loving all that I think we can learn from Jesus is this. Loving all means giving of ourselves to others. It's sacrificial. I spent 10 years in Newburgh as a youth pastor. In the last 4 or 5 years that I was there, I actually began to pastor college students as well as youth. Many of those college students went to George Fox University there in Newburgh. And I had no idea who George Fox was named after until recently when I came across a story about him a few years ago that I want to share with you this morning. Says this, during World War II, there were 4 chaplains, one being Lieutenant George Fox. They were aboard the SS Dorchester, a renovated luxury liner being used to transport troops. In all, 902 people were aboard the ship as it sailed through the treacherous Atlantic waters from Newfoundland to Greenland. On the evening of February 2nd, 1943, a torpedo from a German Nazi U-boat ripped into the ship. "She's going down," the men cried, scrambling for lifeboats. A young soldier came frantically to one of the chaplains, telling him that he had lost his life jacket. "Take this one," the chaplain said, handing the soldier his. Before the ship sank, each chaplain had given his life jacket to one of the soldiers. They spent their final moments tending to the men who had been wounded by the explosion and helping as many as they could get to safety. As the SS Dorchester started to vanish under the waves, survivors shared how the heroic chaplains linked arms and lifted their voices in praise as it went down. Lieutenant Fox and his fellow chaplain were the first to be awarded posthumously, that is such a hard word to say, posthumously, the Distinguished Service Cross for their bravery and sacrifice. John 15:13 tells us, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friend." And 1 John 3:16, that's 1 John 3:16 says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us." Jesus is the perfect example of this sacrificial kind of love. The kind of love that gives yourself to others. You see, at Christmas, it's so easy to focus on the world's ideas of Jesus, right? That this cute little boy that was born in a cute little manger scene, I know many of us, we have them in our homes, but I'm pretty sure our nice, sterile nativity scenes are far from how it really was that night some 2,000 years ago. I mean, if you think about it, a baby was just born. And it's not like today where you can take that baby and go and clean them up and take the old bed sheets and get those all clean. And so now mommy and baby are on this nice sterile sheet with a nice clean baby. That's not how it was back then. It was dirty. And who knows the last time this stable that they're staying in had been cleaned. And so the place was probably pretty smelly and gross. It tells you that this was a pretty big sacrifice for Jesus to give up the glories of heaven for a scene like that. That's what Jesus did. And not only did he come to this earth and limit himself in the form of a man, if you fast forward, as we talked about earlier, he eventually dies on a cross. Why? For our sins, for our failures. Jesus, he shows the greatest love that the Bible talks about because he is love. Excuse me. And the thing we have to remember is that he came to this earth for all of us. He died on the cross for you, for me, for all humanity. Christmas is the story of God's love for all. The story of the God of the universe sending his Son into our world to meet us right where we're at. The story of his Son looking beyond the surface of all our lives and seeing something worthy of his love. The story of Jesus limiting himself to human flesh and eventually allowing that flesh to be crucified for our sins. And as we think of his amazing love for all of us, we have to remember that we are now called to follow his example, to live in the same way that he lived, as we're called to love all. And so my prayer is that as all of us kind of rethink Christmas this year, as we process what Christmas truly means, that we would actually learn to worship fully, to spend less, to give more, and to love all. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for just the picture of what love is as we look at your life throughout the Scriptures. You are love. And you call us to be people who love as well, who love all in the same way that you did. And so, Lord, we thank you for your example. We thank you for the reminder of what Christmas is truly about. Lord, it's not about gifts. It's not about tinsel and lights. It's about the God of this universe giving up everything for sinful, broken people who deserve nothing. And yet you did give up everything so that we, in turn, could have everything ourselves, Lord. And so we thank you for that love. We thank you for what Christmas is all about, Lord. And Lord, my prayer for all of this as we wrap up this Christmas season through this next week, that Lord, we would just continue to seek you, that we would continue to make you the reason for this season, Lord, that we would be reminded of your love, and that we too would learn to love all. We thank you for these things. We thank you for your hand upon our lives. We give them to you. We give you this time. We give you this week, Lord. We give you Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.